Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believed in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. So today is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is the traditional day in the church calendar when retired clergy and assistant clergy preach. The reason is because otherwise it makes those of us who are the rector look foolish trying to explain the unexplainable. Well, evidently, our new assistant is smarter than I thought she was. She had a prearranged engagement today that I've known about for months, that she couldn't be here, making it the first in four years that she did not preach on Trinity Sunday. I also noticed that the Reverend Borden Painter is gone as well. He's preaching somewhere else because someone didn't want to do it. You know, I just think that's silly. I mean, I love to hear Charlotte preach, and I love to have Borden preach, and anybody else for that matter, well, for most people. You know what's wrong with the Trinity? Like most things theological, we try to make them way too complicated. So I could sit here or stand here and try to explain to you what I know of the triune God and three persons represented as three but one and all that, and we would all feel like Nicodemus, utterly confused, our eyes spinning in our heads, and getting very little to nothing out of the conversation. So I'm going to give you a 30-second, well, I've never done anything in 30 seconds in my life. I'll give you a quick primer on the Trinity. Okay, it is a 4th century concept of the 4th century mind trying to figure out and explain the unexplainable. It's the human mind trying to wrap itself around something that is just too big. And so we do what we do. We put things in human terms. All of a sudden, we make the unity of the divine self into three persons. Because God knows we love a box. If you can shove it in the box, you can understand it. In this case, it was too big for one box, so we shoved it into three boxes. It's still busting out, but at least we feel like we have some control over the concept. Joke's on us. All right, really quickly, this is what it is. Okay, so God reveals God's self to us in a multitude of ways. But through tradition and our foremothers and forefathers, great wisdom, knowing that that was too much to handle, they said, well, let's look at it this way. Here's three places where we can put the way that God is revealed to us. One is what we refer to as God the Father, God the Creator. This is the part of God that breathes life into the very beginning of creation, that animates us, that allows this to be. This is the God that I experience when I'm hiking alone. This is the God I experience on a mountaintop. This is the God I know fully when I sit on a beach and just let the water wash over my feet. This is the God I know when I baptize a child and all of a sudden I find that it's just the two of us for an instant. This is the God that speaks to us through creation. Then there's the box that we call Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is the one I get more than any of the others. I had a professor when I was working on my doctorate up in Cambridge at EDS, who used to say that all Episcopalians are really Unitarians. In fact, really all Christians are really Unitarians. They pick one person in the Trinity, and that's the one they stick with. Right? There's that one, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, that we understand and we go with. Well, I'm a Jesus guy. I get Jesus. Jesus is flesh and blood. Jesus is incarnate. Jesus does stuff. I understand doing stuff. So we learn about the nature of God through the life of this person that we call Jesus. And a few quick things that we learn about God through this is that God loves us. That God wants us to be in community, working with and for each other. The most amazing thing we learn about God through Jesus is that God knows what it's like to be us. Think about that for a second. God came and walked amongst us in this frail suit of skin and bones and blood and sinew and brains and muscle that we call human. God dealt with the ins and outs of human relationship. Through the second person of the Trinity, we know that God knows what it's like to be us. The third part of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. What we used to call the Holy Ghost, which always reminded me of Casper, which wasn't really helpful as a theological expression. Luckily, we got over it. It's just a translation issue from ghost to spirit. But the Spirit of God is the God that we experience in the daily lives that we lead. In the unfolding, the witnessing, the experiencing. When we open our minds and our hearts up. I gave an illustration at 8 o'clock to this that I still think is stupid, but I'm going to use it again. It's never stopped me before. So on Saturday, Dave Janowski and I were at a restaurant depot to get the strawberries and some other things for the strawberry festival tomorrow. And if you've never been to the restaurant depot, they have a walk-in cooler that is large enough for about 100 people to work and shop and about 6 forklifts to operate in at the same time. It's massive. I walked into the cooler. During the summer when I was in college, I worked at a restaurant called Martha's Restaurant in Edgartown. Yes, it's pronounced Martha's. In Edgartown on Martha's Vineyard. And I worked the morning shift, which meant I cooked lunch, and then I prepped for dinner. Martha's was a magnificent restaurant. restaurant. Food was super overpriced, it was lousy, and it was packed all the time. It was the quintessential experience of downtown Edgartown. And so I spent a lot of my summers when I was in college inside a walk-in cooler. Back to Saturday. I walk into the cooler at Restaurant Depot, and you know that smell of Freon when you're inside of a walk-in cooler? There's a mixture between Freon, slightly decaying vegetables, and cleaning fluid. It's actually a really cool smell. And I think so. And I walked in, and I was transported 35 years back to standing over a table full of fish that needed to be prepped for dinner in a walk-in cooler that doesn't even exist anymore on an island I haven't been to in a number of years. That's how the Spirit of God works. And you're like, what? No. It's when we open ourselves up, when we allow stuff to creep in, and it's more than what we think it is. You know those experiences? When it's just more than it should be. You know, last illustration, because we're going to do recognition with the kids here in a second. I have done well over 400 baptisms in my ordained ministry. One day I'm actually going to do the math, but I've come safely over 400. I've done over 200 since I've been here, at least. Well over. About three. And in all that time, I have once forgotten the name of the child I was baptizing. Any guesses to who it was? Madison. My daughter, my youngest. So I'm standing there, and I've got Madison. She's small. She was once small and nice. I've got her in my arms like this. It makes me cry just thinking about it. She's the only one of my children I baptized. I'm standing there, and Bob Friend, that honest to God, that was his name, and he lived it out. Bob Friend was the rector of the church that I worked at. He's about 6'1 at least. He's standing right next to me. I'm not 6'1. And I go to bed, I got my baptized, complete blank. He bends down and he looks and whispers in my ear, Madison, you idiot. I believe Madison's baptism certificate actually says that Madison, you idiot, means you. It doesn't really. But it's those moments when life becomes bigger than just this blob of flesh and poo and some cold water and a guy in a funny dress. It was a bigger moment than that. That's how the Spirit of God moves. That's how this Holy Spirit moves. Hits a smack right up against the side of the head when we least expect it. And I want you to open your hearts and your minds up to those experiences, because we miss them all the time. And they will change your life. They will make your life worth the nonsense that it feels like sometimes.